Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 13th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so this evening, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 1. Beloved one, that is, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, any and every communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, you understand that those of you who have been here, 1 John is a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. The great false teachers in John's day, some of them were even, Corinthus was even in his congregation for a while. And Corinthus was teaching false doctrine. He was a false teacher and led many, many believers astray into the cosmic system. And 1 John is a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. The Gnostics denied the deity of Christ. They denied the true humanity of Christ. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Christ. And they said the cross was just an optical illusion. So what we have here is a polemic against this Corinthian Gnosticism. So when he says in verse 2, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. The sound doctrinal communicator, like the Apostle John, taught about the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God and his hypostatic union. They taught the true humanity of Jesus Christ, as well as the deity of Christ. Verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, that is, the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, which is Orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, there's a difference between the spirit of the Antichrist and the Antichrist. And then he says, about whom, referring to the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming. The Apostle John, he taught all about the tribulation period, taught all about the true Antichrist and the false prophet and all the eschatological doctrine. John, who is the author of 1 John, taught Revelation. So they have heard all the eschatological doctrine about the Antichrist and the tribulation. But that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. And so he says, but now, right now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They are in the world right now. Church age. Verse 4. You, believers living the spiritual life, you're from God. Dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them. You have overcome the false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist. You have cleared the hurdles of people testing because you know that greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. Verse 5. They, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, they belong to the cosmic system. And therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, all those living in the cosmic system, both believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them. They listen to them and they follow their false teaching. Verse 6. We and only we, Orthodox communicators teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God, are from the living and true God, the one who has come to know God. And there is a very special word that John uses again and again and again throughout 1 John. And that is the word gnosko. The one who has come to know God, gnosko, who has come to develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, he keeps on listening to us, sound doctrinal communicators. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us. By this, we have come to know, to discern and to understand the Spirit of Truth, a special title for God the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth who, with these sound doctrinal teachers, through the teaching, illuminating, and recalling ministry of the Spirit, guides the sound doctrinal teachers into the absolute truth of the Word of God. So this, by this we have come to know the Spirit of Truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, delusion, and deception. Now that has brought us into the next paragraph, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. And in 1 John 4, 7 through 12, we have the dynamics of virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. Verse 7, we have done the exegesis. It sounds like this. Beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another. That is impersonal love for all mankind. Let us love one another because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves impersonal love for all has been born, spiritual birth, from the source of God, regeneration. And now we have the word again, the word gnosko. And he has come to gnosko. He has come to know God. He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, in this section, the key word, and not just here in 1 John 4, but as we studied earlier in 1 John chapter 2, the key word that John uses is gnosko. Now, gnosko can mean to know. It also means to come to know. And the object, the direct object, is God, to come to know God. The Apostle John uses this verb to disclose and describe the believer who has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, John taught this in detail in 1 John chapter 2. So if you'll look back, or maybe you have your corrected translation. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. 1 John 2, 3 through 5. He's already taught this in detail, and now he's picking it up again in 1 John 4, 7 through 12. The dynamics of virtue love, and specifically impersonal love for all. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. In verse 3, John says, we know that we have, and here's our word, we know that we have gnoskoed him, that is, come to know God. We know that we have gnoskoed him. We know that we have come to know God. That is personal love for God and occupation with Christ. And now, a condition. There's a condition that you must fulfill to come to know God. Before you can ever have personal love for God and occupation with Christ, there is a condition. We know that we have come to know God, gnoskoed him, if we obey his mandates. That is, if we obey the mandates in the Word of God to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And what are those mandates? Ephesians 4:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life. Keep on, Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the Spirit. Keep on living your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is spiritual skill number two. That's the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, whereby you consistently and faithfully metabolize doctrine, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and what happens then? Personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ, you have come to know God. Also the mandate, stop grieving the Spirit. Also the mandate, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't love God. There's a lot of people that say they love God, and they don't love God. And John even takes that up, and he calls them liars. I love John. I would love to go out and have a glass of wine with John. It'd be great. So he says in verse 3, we know that we have gnosko, come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ, if we obey His mandates, the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And then verse 4, the one who keeps on claiming that I know God, and there's our word gnosko, and there are a lot of believers that claim that they gnosko God, that they have personal love for God. But he does not obey His mandates. He is a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. And then he keeps going in verse 5. But if, and again, the condition. There's a condition. But if anyone keeps on obeying His Word, the mandates of God's Word, then the love for God has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this we have gnoskoed, by this we have come to know and realize that we are, and now another word John uses again and again, meno. We are abiding in him. We are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. So John has taught this in detail, 1 John 2:3-5. And he has brought it up again in 1 John 4:6. We and only we, Orthodox pastors teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God. The one who has come to know God, gnosko, that is, has developed personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ, he keeps on listening to us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we have gnoskoed. By this we have come to know the Spirit of truth, that is God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, delusion, and deception. And then in 1 John 4:7, in this paragraph, he once again uses this verb gnosko. And he has come to know God. This is the believer who has positive volition, who has humility, respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. This is the believer who consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and metabolizes Bible doctrine. And the result is that he obeys the mandates of the Word of God. And he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that is the ultimate objective for you in the church age. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And virtue love is made up of three parts. Personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and impersonal love for all mankind. Together, this is virtue love. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, This is the ultimate objective for you in the short time while you're here, to advance to maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The one who has come to know God has developed personal love for God. The one who has come to know God is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. This believer comes to know God. He develops personal love for God because he consistently and faithfully keeps on listening to orthodox pastor teachers teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. So once again, behold, royal family of God, let us love one another, impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and has gnoskoed, come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Those are the great motivational virtues that motivate impersonal love for all mankind. Now at that point, we began to summarize verse 7, and we have the first 5 points of that summary. Point 1, virtue love is made up of 3 parts. Personal love for God, and you got it up here already. Personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, the great motivational virtues that motivate impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. Point 2, you must understand that love for God is not only a problem-solving device, but it is a basis for recognizing the greatest things in your life because of the grace and truth of the Word of God in your heart. Point 3, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward perfect God. It's only a virtue when it's directed toward perfect God. Point 4, now there is a lot of people that say they have personal love for man, and of course you have friendships, you have personal relationships, you have romance, you have marriage. And personal love has a part in all those. Personal love has a part in marriage and friendship and in personal relationships and romance. But personal love for man is virtue dependent. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Now, when you, believers in Jesus Christ, positive volition, humility, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, when you have that personal love for God and occupation with Christ, that will motivate you to have impersonal love for your wife, for your husband, in romance, in your friendships, in all personal relationships. The problem-solving device that solves all people problems, all marriage problems, all friendship problems, all romance problems, is impersonal love for all. This is the key right there. Now, most of you have already passed the point of no return. You've already gotten married. We have a congregation that's past that point for the most part. If you happen to be some of the few that have not yet gotten married or involved in romance or friendship or personal relationship, the most important thing for you to do is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to come to know God, to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And if you get this impersonal love in your heart, you will have the integrity envelope. Now your personal love will be inside of that integrity envelope, or your personal love will be in the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. And when you have that, well, you will have something absolutely fantastic. Your marriage will be a happy marriage, a successful marriage. It will be just as the Lord Jesus Christ created it to be. Fantastic. Your personal relationships with others, your friendships, will be absolutely fantastic because you have your personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. And you see, with that, well, you're going to always have problems in marriage. Is there anybody here that's never had any problems in marriage? Raise your hand. I want to see the liars. Oh, every marriage has problems. Who has never had problems in personal relationships, friendships? Who has never had problems in romance? Well, we all have. And there's nothing wrong with personal love in those things as long as it's inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Because when you have impersonal love for all, you're operating on your virtue, the virtue of the one doing the loving. Not forget about the object. Husbands, you're operating on your virtue, your integrity, your honor. Doesn't make any difference what the wife is. She could be the worst wife in the universe. There's not too many out there, but most of them are here. Doesn't make any difference. You have virtue. You have honor. You have integrity. And so you love her. Your personal love is inside that integrity envelope, and you love her with impersonal love for all. Wives! When you have impersonal love for all, why then, you have virtue, you have honor, you have integrity, and you love your husband no matter what he is. Same thing goes for romance, same thing goes for friendships. So personal love in the human race, for it to be successful, it must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. So that is point four. Personal love for man is virtue dependent, and it must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. And when you have that, wahoo! That's when marriage is the best. That's when friendships are the best. That's when romance is the best. Five, personal love for God is the motivational virtue of the plan of God. It is what motivates you to execute God's mandates. And we ended the last time at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So let's turn over to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You see, you would not consistently attend Bible class, a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church, unless you had learned enough Bible doctrine to have some appreciation for who and what God is. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another, fellow believers, to love with virtue love, and then you have something, my translation says good deeds. It doesn't say good deeds. It says kalos ergon. That's something totally different. Kalos is not the word for good. Agathos is the word for good. We don't have agathos. We have kalos. That means honorable. Honorable. It means virtue. It means integrity. And then with that we have ergon, which E-R-G-O-N. This is the grace righteous production of a winner believer. Let us consider how to stimulate one another, fellow believers, to virtue love and honorable grace righteous production. And then, how is that accomplished? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another to keep on assembling for Bible doctrine, and do this all the more as you see the day drawing near. Well, the day is drawing near. The day is drawing near, drawing near, drawing near, and getting very close. So because you have that appreciation, you are motivated to assemble with other believers and to encourage them to consistently and faithfully learn the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, develop virtue love, and have honorable grace righteous production in your life. Now that brings us to point 6. Personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object, which is God. Personal love. Personal love emphasizes the object. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving. But personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object. And what is the object? The object is perfect God. Perfect God. That's the object. So personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object, and the object is perfect God. 7. Personal love in the human race, however, has no virtue in and of itself. Personal love in the human race has no virtue in and of itself. It is virtue dependent. It is virtue dependent. The only virtue among humans is what comes from the laws of divine establishment, or the virtue which is developed from living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and then your personal love for man is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Point 8. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward a perfect object, and that perfect object is God the Father, and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, as the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled Operation Grace on the cross, as our Lord and Savior. Personal love for God the Son, we call occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ is the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. It's the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And thereafter, thinking Bible doctrine. Thinking truth. And that means applying the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. The only Bible doctrine you can ever apply skillfully and accurately to your life is the Bible doctrine you believe. You must believe it. And it goes into your heart as epinosis doctrine, full knowledge, complete knowledge of Bible doctrine. That is also called in the Word of God wisdom. Now you have wisdom. That's what you're headed for. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. This is, in the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word chokma. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's C-H-O-K-M-A-H, chokma. And chokma was used for a professional. And he was said to have wisdom. And then when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your soul, you are, as it were, a professional. Because now you can apply the absolute truth of the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. Chokma, that's the Hebrew word, and the Greek word is Sophia. S-O-P-H-I-A. Both of them are words, Greek and Hebrew, for wisdom. Now, some of you truly love God because you have enough metabolized doctrine in your heart to love Him. Point 9. It is impossible to love someone who is invisible apart from knowing Him. And no one here has seen God. No one here has seen the Father. No one here has seen the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Holy Spirit. In order to love God, God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know His thinking. And the thinking of God is in the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And the Word of God is also called the mind of Christ. It's the thinking of Jesus Christ. So it's impossible to love someone who is invisible apart from knowing Him. And when you know the Word of God, when you know the mind of Christ, a maximum amount of the mind of Christ, metabolized doctrine in your heart, then you will love God more than life itself. At that point, the most important person in your life is God, the living and true God, Jesus Christ. On the other hand, people are not invisible. I can see all of you. People are not invisible. People are visible. And sometimes it's very difficult to know what they are thinking. And when some people say, "I love you," well, I would turn and run the other way. It may be wrapped up in hypocrisy or false motivation or without any capacity at all. And therefore, we are easily deceived by people because you do not know what they are thinking in their heart. So, for those of you who still have a chance, grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before you get married or before you establish a permanent relationship, because without virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the flaws take over and they will destroy your marriage, your friendship, your romance. But with virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have problem-solving devices that lead to great capacity for love, great capacity for life, great capacity for happiness. With the great motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, that will motivate the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Now your personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. And that means great happiness and a successful marriage, friendship, relationship with people. Now, there are several very fantastic scriptures on personal love for God the Father. So let's take a look at some of those scriptures of personal love for God the Father. Turn over to Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. First of all, we're looking at scriptures on personal love for God the Father. Romans 5:5. And hope never disappoints, because love for God, personal love for God, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's the combination of spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, and spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And hope never disappoints, because personal love for God has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Just as it stands written, things which the eye has not seen, and it has not entered into the heart of mankind, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Personal love for God the Father. Let's take a couple of points on that. One, when you develop personal love for God the Father, life will become the most fantastic life ever. Your life will become the most fantastic life ever. When you develop personal love for God the Father, your life will become the most fantastic life ever. Two, God has prepared for you things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Things that haven't even entered our mind. God has prepared for you things that are exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Three. But metabolized doctrine must come first. You must have metabolized doctrine in your heart from your obeying the mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And when that is first, now God is number one in your priority over everything else in your life. Four, if you place, and a lot of Christians place everything else ahead of God the Father, then you will never have personal love for God. And that, unfortunately, it's sad, but it's true, because we are in apostasy and degeneracy. And people have everything else that's more important than God. Everything else is more important than the Word of God. And unfortunately, they will never, ever have personal love for God the Father. Now let's take a look at the scripture of personal love for Jesus Christ. Personal love for Jesus Christ, or occupation with Christ. First of all, turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Second Corinthians 5:14. For the love for Christ, personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ, compels us. And the word to compel means to motivate, to compel us, to motivate us. Personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, motivates us. It motivates us and emphasizes what priority is in our life. And the Apostle Paul put this way, Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ. For to me, to live is Christ. And that will be true for all of you. When you have personal love for Jesus Christ and occupation with Christ, your life will be Christ. Christ is your life. My sister called me. She is making a Norwegian smorgasbord. And she is inviting the family to come to this Norwegian smorgasbord. She invited everybody, but all of a sudden she realized she left me out. So she called me up and she says, I'm going to have a Norwegian smorgasbord. I've invited everybody else, but I forgot to invite you. I said, well, I slipped through the cracks a lot. And she says, I'm even going to fix lutefisk. I go, yeah. And I love lutefisk, by the way. I didn't when I was a little shaver. And my dad loved lutefisk. And he would go down and they had it in barrels in Lye. And he'd buy it out of these barrels in Lye and bring it home. And my mother fixed it because Dad asked her to fix it. But when she was cooking it, it smelled like the most stinky socks you have ever heard. You could hear these socks. They were talking. And no, my mom, she prepared it. She didn't want to touch it. And all of us kids didn't want to. And Dad would eat it all by himself. She would melt the butter, and he would pour melted butter over the lutefisk. It flaked off. I'm watching him. And I feel sorry for Dad. Dad is eating this all by himself. So I sat down and I said, Mom, I would like some lutefisk too. So she served up some for me. Her eyes got this big. Poured the hot melted butter over it. I could not believe how great that lutefisk was. And of course, also the Scandinavians have lefse. And my mother made lots and lots of lefse. So lefse and lutefisk. She says, I'm going to make lefse. I'm going to make lutefisk. Pickled herring. All of the really great stuff in food, you know. I said, well, that sounds fantastic, but My traveling goes from the house to the church, from the church to the house, from the house to the church, church to the house, because for me to live is Christ. I wouldn't have it any other way. For me to live is Christ. And I'm here for one reason and one reason only, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I love you." "Then feed my sheep." Well, I love Jesus Christ. And there's nothing I want to do for the rest of my life except feed the Lord's sheep. Study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. And don't think I'm being suffering through that. It's great. It's great. It's fantastic. It's nothing but pure happiness. I know Rich is back here, and he called me before he ever came out the first time. Wanted to know if I was going to be here. I think he talked to one of the deacons. And I think it was Deacon Al, and Al said that this fellow's coming out and he wants to know if you're going to be here. He gave me the dates. I said, "Well, tell him I'm always on." He wanted to know if you're having a vacation or not. I said, "Well, you tell him I'm always on vacation. 365 days a year. Tell him I'm always on vacation. My vacation is what I'm doing right now. I'm on vacation right now. I know some of you go and I don't see you for months." But I'm on vacation up here teaching you the Word of God. I'm on vacation when I'm back studying. And I can agree with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ." Turn over to Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians 6:24. "Grace to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." Now this love for our Lord Jesus Christ, that's occupation with Christ. Think of it. You can have an incorruptible love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have that, it overflows into an incorruptible love for people, for your husband, for your wife, for your friends. Turn over to 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. First Peter 1:8. "Though you have not seen him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "you love him." Personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. "And even though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you rejoice with an inexpressible and glorious happiness." There's something that goes with occupation with Christ. There's something that goes with your personal love for Jesus Christ, and that is happiness. So your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ is related to sharing the happiness of God. Your personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ is related to sharing the happiness of God. How much is that worth? It's priceless. It's priceless. Two, occupation with Christ and self-contained happiness, they go together. They're two sides of the same coin. When you have personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you also share the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness. And that self-contained happiness goes with you everywhere you go. Whatever you do. Three, failure to have personal love for Jesus Christ. Failure to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion of your heart. Well, it just means you will be unhappy as a Christian as long as you live. Because this sharing the happiness of God, the self-contained happiness, is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16:22. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord, if anyone does not love Jesus Christ, then let him be anathema, maranatha, which translated means let him be cursed until the rapture. One. No personal love for Jesus Christ not only means no happiness, no sharing the happiness of God, but you are also under a curse as a believer. No personal love for Jesus Christ, no occupation with Christ, not only means no happiness, not only means no happiness, but you are also under a curse as a believer. Two, when you grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, then you will have personal love for Jesus Christ. You will be occupied with Christ and you will share the happiness of God. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, then you will have personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, and you will share the happiness of God. Three, with that love and happiness, you will have a fantastic life. A fantastic life. A fantastic life in your relationships to people. A fantastic life in your relationship to values. A fantastic life in your relationship to principles. So 1 John 4:7, beloved, royal family of God, let us love one another, that's impersonal love for all, because virtue love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves virtue love, specifically here, impersonal love for all, has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and he has gnoskoed God. He has come to know God. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed, Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping with you and your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives, for we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.